Scientists are working out which coral reefs are most at risk of being hit by annual bleaching and which may avoid the phenomenon a little longer. It reveals the Great Barrier Reef is unlikely to be the first to suffer the frequent bleaching, but that it'll eventually happen, even with emissions reductions pledged under the Paris Climate Change Agreement. Angus Randall reports.
Scientists are conducting triage on the world's reefs, working out which ones can be saved and which may be lost.
It doesn't necessarily mean that we're totally going to lose a reef.
Gabby Amadia from the World Wildlife Fund is a co-author on a report from the University of Miami in Florida that reveals which reefs are likely to be hit first by coral bleaching. Coral reefs aren't always completely killed by a bleaching incident, but they need time to recover.
Sometimes the coral doesn't necessarily die. So if it's a prolonged bleaching event, that's when corals become more susceptible.
Ms. Amadia says warming oceans will severely affect that recovery time.
If the bleaching isn't a too severe of an event, you know, the corals can actually recover. But it's not always the case. If it's a long bleaching event, then the coral will often succumb.
The Great Barrier Reef endured a major bleaching event last year, killing more than 20% of the reef's coral. The study predicts on average the world's reefs will suffer annual bleaching by 2045. It says the southern areas of the Great Barrier Reef will see bleaching a few years later. However, the northern area remains at high risk of annual bleaching. The World Wildlife Fund's Gabby Amadia says conservationists must now decide which reefs deserve their attention.
What do we want to protect? There's different strategies that people might deploy. You know, do we actually just protect these refugia where we think coral reefs are going to be more likely to succeed and not be as heavily impacted by climate change? Or do we take maybe more of like a risk-spreading approach where we, you know, try to protect maybe some of these reefs that are more vulnerable compared to reefs that aren't, and so you kind of spread the risk?
She says the effect on people who rely on reefs for their livelihood also plays a role.
And then it's also nice to think about maybe some of the people who are dependent on it. And, you know, some reefs might be a little more, I would say, economically important in certain areas, and there might be a lot more dependence, a lot more people dependent on those reefs in certain areas than another. You know, so some of the arguments is like, do we save these really remote reefs where there's not that many people dependent on them, or do we focus on some of these areas where we have a lot of people who this is their livelihood and they depend on the coral reef for their food and fishing and whatnot.
Gabby Amadia from the World Wildlife Fund, ending that report by Angus Randall.